I am now pleased to invite Christine Burns from Press for Change to address us. Professor Stephen Whittle is unfortunately unable to attend, and Christine has kindly agreed to step in. Christine is a key trans activist and has campaigned at local and national levels for trans rights, and is probably best known as a writer and broadcaster. On a local note, and for all you fans of soap opera, Christine also led the lobby which led to Coronation Street, including a Press for Change advisor to the programme's production team when a trans character was introduced to Weatherfield. Conference, please give a warm welcome to Christine.
Well, good morning, Conference, and welcome to Manchester. I need to say first a little apology from my colleague Stephen Whittle, who unfortunately had to go away to something else at short notice. And I only discovered yesterday morning that I needed to volunteer myself to step into his place. So then I actually had to think hard and very quick about what I was going to say. I chaired the transgender workstream of the Department of Health's Sexual Orientation Gender Identity Advisory Group. That's something that's very dear to my heart, because a large slice of the discrimination that trans people face in society actually takes place within the public sector, and most particularly within the health service. And so I thought I would actually have a very good audience to speak to here about that today. But I witnessed something yesterday while I was here as a guest that moved me and actually made me feel that I perhaps should take a slightly different direction, because I think there's something more fundamental before we can actually address some of the ways in which I do hope that Unison members can help us to take forward a climate of and a culture of change within the health service to stop disenfranchising trans people. I think I want to do that by actually talking a little bit personally first. As I say, welcome me to Manchester. I feel like a Mancunian. I came here nearly 35 years ago in 1972 as a student. I found it as a place that's steeped in history. A few yards from here, in 1819, there was the Peterloo Massacre. In 1863, the Co-op Wholesale Society set up shop just down the road, followed by the Cooperative Insurance Society as well. The first meeting of the TUC took place just down the road, a couple of doors down from the Lesbian and Gay Foundation, right slap bang in the middle of the gay village. There's a nice connection. So there's a lot of history here. But my history is when I came to Manchester in 1972 as a student. That was the point where I first started to be able to explore my identity as a trans person. And it was pretty scary, and it was pretty lonely, because there was nobody to turn to. Nobody to talk to about it. In fact, I just instinctively knew I didn't dare talk to anybody about it. I hardly dared talk to myself about it. But I felt welcome in the place. That loneliness, I think, is probably what inspires me to feel the importance of inclusivity. Because we've done so much of what we've brought forward alone. Even going forward to the 1990s and the formation of Press for Change at about the same time as Stonewall was formed, we went forward, there were only six of us in a room when Press for Change was first set up. And it was a full 4 or 5 years before we actually started to get any toehold in terms of successes. It was in 1996 that we finally won a case in Europe which began to set down the principles for protecting trans people's rights to employment. Prior to that point, I could be sacked at any time just for somebody new knowing that I was a trans woman. And from that point, we actually then started to make some progress. We also saw the Sex Discrimination Gender Reassignment Regulations passed in 1999. In that same year, there was also a very important appeal court case that established trans people's right to treatment on the NHS. And then we go forward to 2002, and finally winning our case in the European Court of Human Rights for our privacy and our right to marry, and that's what gave rise to, in 2004, the Gender Recognition Act. And 18 months on from that, 1,780 people have now applied to be legally recognised as who they are. Makes me a woman, officially as well as spiritually. But through all that time, we did all those things essentially alone and apart. While we were actually fighting with the government over all these things, we were actually also fighting with, to some extent, with the gay and lesbian community and with the unions, because we were still outside of all that. Now, this summer, I attended the first national LGBT health summit in London. And I saw something remarkable happen, because for the very first time, there was a significant number of trans people present at a meeting like that. And they stood up and they talked. And I saw a meeting that was already talking about important things, really galvanized, and actually really, for the very first time, the T feeling as though it was an equal part in conjunction with the L, the G, and the B. And I think one of the problems we have is that we tend to divide. That we have L, we have G, we have B, and we have T. And for God's sake, you know, within trans community, we break the T down even further. We separate out people who cross-dress from people who are transgender and people who are transsexual. And that's even before we start to talk about intersex people. And actually, the lesson we learn from that is while we're busy doing all that dividing, they rule. And they rule very simply, because to them, those people outside of our world, we're all just fucking queer. So I think we have to learn to come together far more. And that's what I actually saw yesterday. Back in 2002, I addressed a workshop, a smaller gathering than this, in Plymouth. And at that time, Unison, I think, was still debating with itself whether to actually become an LGBT organisation rather than just an LGB one. I said at the time, I recall very strongly, that if you have a T on the end, then it's not a designer accessory. I've seen a lot of people do that in the last few years. Oh, yeah, well, I suppose we'd better call ourselves LGBT, because everybody seems to be doing that. We don't want to be left behind. Well, if you have the T, you actually have to really understand what it means to commit to that. And I saw a little bit of the beginning of that yesterday, because I attended a meeting here where people had actually gathered to begin to understand more actually how to support trans members within the union. And in the process of that, I was gobsmacked because a man sitting a couple of seats away from me suddenly outed himself. He revealed his own transgender identity. And I thought that was absolutely fantastic. Because when I was a student here 30 years ago, I couldn't do that to anybody. And it happened yesterday because that person felt that they were in a safe space and supported, and that people actually were prepared to listen. And so I think there is an important message overall, that before we can actually take forward the agenda that we need to take in the health service, for instance, we actually have to get it right ourselves. We have to really learn how to celebrate a trans membership of the union. The LGB needs to know how to really embrace the T, so it really is LGBT. And then going up the line, it's the same as expecting and hoping and wishing that Unison, the whole union, can embrace its LGBT. Because if Unison is capable of doing that, and the LGBT section is capable of addressing the T, I think we're sending a very important message to the rest of society. This is how you do it. So I'd like to thank you for inviting me. I think that's probably a message to wrap up on, that I really felt yesterday that you're really on the way, and I really felt it was a nice place to come and support it. And I'm glad that since 2002, when I was pleading for that inclusion of that T, that you actually come forward now to the point where members of the union can actually feel supported enough to come out and get accepted. And that's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christine.